I'm David Sobolov, voice of Grodd on The Flash, and you're listening to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, with your hosts Josh and Jay.
No help here.
My name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for slowing down for a moment. I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm Gorilla Grodd. Everywhere I hear the sound of marching, charging apes, boy. Because Tuesday's here and the time is right for fighting in the streets of Central City, boy.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show, The Flash, with discussion and commentary on how to stay safe during a guerrilla attack. Now, Grodd, question for you.
Yes, stop, drop, and roll.
Here, that'll do it. Here's my only question for you here before we start the show is, I have here a lantern, and here I have a ball, and I just want to make sure you can tell the difference.
Yes.
Okay. All right, good. I didn't want to have any trouble in the bedroom there. So, well, you know what?
Technically, those are T-spheres. But I think that was a different show this
week.
That's
a different show. Yeah, that's different. But we'll discuss other spherical objects in our other podcast this week. But now, look, this you and I talked about this last week about how we were hoping that this episode was going to kind of I guess improve on the first part.
Of this little arc. That's a nice way to put it. Thank God it did.
I was going to say in my personal opinion, I was very satisfied with it, especially knowing what they were trying to accomplish. They had some hefty goals, I got to say. Hefty goals for their resources, and I thought they pulled it off pretty well. So I'm excited to talk about it with you.
Yeah, I think there were still a few problems with the episode. They again, with just a lot of CGI, you got a guerrilla army walking into the city, you got a big battle that's just CG characters battling against each other. But there was more going on in the secondary and tertiary storylines. So it just, if that's the thing about like this show and Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow, if you don't like one of the storylines, there's usually, hopefully at least two others so that you've got something to enjoy.
Yeah, sometimes more.
And last week it was just really there were just like two stories and the second one wasn't even really that strong. So I think they did a better job this week.
Well, I will talk to you more about it later, I guess. Let's break it down a little bit and then I have lots to say about it and I want to kind of share my feelings after watching it several times and kind of thinking about it and just kind of sitting down in the corner curling up, eating a banana, and picking fleas off myself. I have some things I want to discuss with you, but why don't you tell us a little bit about it first, and that way people will know which episode we are discussing.
All right. Well, this is the episode called My Josh Has Fleas. it's the 14th episode of Season 3, counterpoint to last week's attack on Guerrilla City with Attack on Central City. You see how they did that? They just changed one word, right? They're very similar titles. Very clever. Very clever how they do that. Originally aired the last day of February here, February 28th, 2017. The story was by Todd Helbing with the teleplay by Benjamin Robb and Derek A. Hughes, and again directed by Dermot Daniel Downs. So he did a twofer here, having the last two episodes directed by him. Well, so on this week's Flash, we celebrate Friends Day, where we recognize all the people who make our life worth living. HR will make sure that we realize how important these relationships are. Barry will do anything to guarantee Iris's future safety. Caitlin, again, ponders her relationship with Julian, Joe still enjoys time with Cecile. Jesse wonders how to break the news to her dad of her relocation to Earth One with Wally, which leaves Sisko. Poor Sisko.
Oh, poor guy. Yeah.
He's never going to get his heart donut, right? So who is his soulmate? Maybe it's that one that continues to be on his mind since she vibed her way into his heart. Gypsy. Well, say no more, because she pops into the universe to knock him off his feet. Literally. She appears through a breach under the influence of Grodd, and they do stop her and lock her up in the pipeline, but learn that Grodd is bringing his army of gorillas to Central City. The team tries to head them off before the attack starts, but Grodd is obviously very smart and seems to be always one step ahead. He even takes control of Joe. But that turns out to be a lucky break when they are able to use his connection to discover that Grodd has gained control of some nuclear missiles. Nuclear missiles.
Well, Grodd say nuclear. Grodd pronounced correctly.
Gorilla kind. The Flash speeds into action and practices speedy keyboarding skills to stop them. But if they're going to overpower a horde of angry gorillas, horde, is that the correct terminology for them?
A murder of gorillas, maybe?
maybe in this case. So they're going to need more than just the three speedsters. So Sisko uses his manly sex appeal to convince Gypsy to help him bring Solivar to Earth One and challenge Grodd and his army before they wreak havoc on the city. Fortunately, Solivar is still more powerful than Flash's hairy nemesis. He beats Grodd and takes all of his simian buddies back to his own Earth. Now everyone can appreciate the time they have with each other, at least for a few minutes until Savitar shows up to move the story along.
Oh yeah, you don't want too much of a pause.
No, no.
That's good. You know, in the wintertime especially, I sit around watching football with my wife, you know, and we'll sometimes be thinking about how the guys we're watching football with have a job where people knock them down all the time. Like, that's their job, right? It's just to be knocked down all the time. And I thank my lucky stars that my job, that's not part of my job, is where people knock me down. And I got to thinking about the people at Star Labs, how that just sort of happens on a daily basis, where somebody gets, you know, knocked across the room or pinned to a iron wall with a vibe from some woman hypnotized by a gorilla. It's just, it never happens to me in my job, luckily, but...
Yeah, that is fortunate. Any job that where you can suffer a traumatic brain injury or, you know, concussions is probably not something I would want to do on a regular basis, especially, well, I mean, given our advanced age and all that, too.
Sadly, I was thinking the same thing. all right. So we'll start talking about this episode. I did have one little piece of news that I won't share too much information with, because I know some people don't like to know too much ahead of time, but I thought this scheduling for a future episode was pretty important because we've talked about it in the past. It has to do with a crossover with Supergirl and Flash, and it's the musical episode that you and I have been discussing all season.
Yes. So it looks like that's going to be coming in about 3 weeks. Looks like it'll be on March 21st.
Yeah, right. Now, Supergirl, the Supergirl episode will be the day before, March 20th.
Yeah, correct.
And it's going to kick off an episode. And from what I have seen and what it seems like as I speculate what it's going to be about, it sounds like it's going to be very similar to the other crossover with Supergirl. Where
Invasion.
Invasion, where it just happened at the end of Supergirl and then kind of, you know, transfers over to Flash. But hey, you know, if you don't watch Supergirl, number one, I would say it's a very entertaining show. But this particular week on March 20th episode, Terry Hatcher will be guest starring on that episode. And if you don't remember who Terry Hatcher was, she was Lois on the Lois and Clark series.
Yeah, but so, she's playing a bad lady now, I think. Along with Kevin Sorbo, who was Hercules on The Adventures of Hercules. I think he's guesting that week as well.
That's right. That's right. So, I cannot say enough for Berlanti and Guggenheim and all those guys that are bringing back actors and actresses from previous incarnations of these characters and giving them some kind of a role on these shows, because it's so much fun.
Yeah.
Dean Cain has been doing a pretty bang up job, literally, on Supergirl. Anyway, if you haven't been into Supergirl, check it out, because there's all kinds of fun little surprises in there, as there is in Flash. So, I guess the Flash's episode that happens on March 21st, that's going to be called Duet, and that's where the bulk of the musical character of what's his name?
Music Meister.
Thank you, man. It just like left my brain there for a second. Music Meister. So most of it should take place there. So
yeah,
be looking forward to that.
It's interesting that you mentioned the use of these other characters and stuff, because I was just thinking about that watching Supergirl this week. Like, is the guy that plays Mon-El going to show up on some, you know, in like 20 years, is he going to show up on some future incarnation of Supergirl, Superman? And I'm thinking, probably not.
No, you don't think so? Somebody might. Nah, you never know.
I don't know.
No, yeah. Probably not him, though. They'll pick one of the main characters.
Right.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Grodd and the Flash. And to start off, I want to talk about the effects. We talked about CGI so much last week and how we thought maybe that took away from some of what potentially could have made it a little bit better of an episode. And I think that this episode probably had the same limitations because of using so many gorillas again and using Grodd as the main villain. Do you think this episode suffered the same problems as last week?
No, I think it suffered different problems, and not as many. I know the CGI was mixed last week. I know some people enjoyed it and other people thought it was just a little too much. It didn't bother me as much this week or stand out as much. I think because we were in the environment of the city, so the CG apparently was limited just to the characters. I mean, it doesn't mean that there weren't buildings and stuff that were CGI'd when they did all that. But the one thing that I was thinking about and that kind of kept occurring to me is Grodd and Solovar are only seen in their armor. They look like they're both the same ape model, except they're colored different. They both have the same armor, except it's colored differently. The guerrilla army moves very similarly. You know, it was there wasn't a lot of variation there and stuff like this. Again, I completely understand why, but that was kind of where my brain kept going.
I watched a little making of from last week's where they interviewed Armin Kevorkian, who I think is the main technical person on the show. I can't remember what his official title is, but and they were talking about how like the crowd, the gorilla crowd in the Colosseum, you know, they had to, it's a crowd program basically, you know, but they have to assign certain movements to the gorillas in the crowd, so they're not all moving exactly the same. And that occurred to me while I was watching this one, while the army was approaching Central City, and how they did look similar, but they all had kind of a little bit different movements and stuff. So that stuff kind of stood out to me only because I had watched the making of. But so the reason I bring that up at the top, though, is because I got to thinking about what people would expect, you know, to see from a gorilla army attacking and Flash having a fight with them and two gorillas, you know, fighting. And I think that we have gotten so used to seeing these gigantic spectacles of fights in superhero movies with thousands of, you know, robots attacking the superheroes, or, you know, a whole city being toppled down because they really, really like to have Superman destroy things or whatever it is, you know. And then I got to be thinking about how a gorilla like this would actually attack a full-blown metropolis city, you know, like Central City.
Yeah.
And I think it actually would be very similar to what he did. He wouldn't be able to just randomly attack or like a bunch of animals just storm the place. Because the city itself is too big, you know. It's not like a little village or something. And so he was actually very smart about doing it, about making sure he didn't come, which worked okay with the story because they couldn't do the entire story CGI gorilla fight. They had to kind of make it work so within that hour, they made their way into the city for sort of the final confrontation. So, after thinking about some of that, it worked a little bit better for me.
Okay. Yeah. I think those are good points. That was a good way for them to deal with the limitations of the episode, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, I agree with you though. I thought, it looked a lot better. It seemed to be smoother. And, even the fight at the end with, Solovar and Grodd, I thought worked pretty well.
I mean, the fact that we can have two ape characters beating the crap out of each other on the top of a building, throwing themselves around off the building, and then interacting relatively seamlessly with the humans, the real people. I mean, on a TV show, that's wow. Yeah, you know, 12-year-old me would be pretty excited, I think.
Yeah, completely agree. And I don't want them to stop going for this. You know, I mean, I don't want them to stop really setting these high goals for themselves because, yeah. I think they learn a lot every time they do it. And I think they kind of advance the possibilities every time they do it. So
I feel like they tease the next element because as soon as they said that they were putting Grodd with Argus, I turned to my wife and I said, oh, they still got King Shark. And then they brought up King Shark. And I'm like, uh-huh, King Shark versus Gorilla Grodd steel cage match underwater.
That would be awesome. I mean, why not? Hey, sure, jailbreak.
Why not?
The main theme, I guess, of this episode felt to me like it was the idea of not killing, which has come up a few times on Flash. I think that's more of an Arrow thread theme, you know, that they're always kind of struggling with that because of the darker nature of the show. But I think it's good that Flash looks at that every now and then because his every season his life seems to get a little bit more dark. He has a little bit more loss or a lot more loss. And, you know, that kind of stuff changes who you are. And so I think it's important for them to revisit that every now and then for Barry because he really does have to consider that. And Grodd is a, no pun intended, gigantic threat that I think you have to at least consider the possibility of that being the only option.
Right. And since he's not a human, you can if they decided they wanted to do something like that, I think you could probably justify it for the show. killing a dog or something like that. I mean, not that they would do that, but maybe it wouldn't be a dog. Maybe it's like a tiger, right? You don't want to kill a dog, but if a tiger were attacking, you know, they would probably just, we just need to kill it and not pay a second thought. This is a little bit different because he's a super intelligent telepathic gorilla ape. And, that's, It brings up different moral obligations, ethical considerations, something like that.
I think for the average person in our culture, I think yes. You know, of course, there's extremes where people don't want to take a life of anything. But Iris says to him that
gorilla lives matter, Josh.
It's true.
Yeah.
Iris is the one that says to him that humanity is what separates you from everyone else. And again, because of him being the Flash, and even in the comics, Flash has always been a little bit different from the other heroes. I've always felt that Flash was a more, I don't even know what the word is that I would describe him. Not innocent or naive or anything like that, but he's always had a very ethical sense of thought, when it comes to how he stops, except in the first few comic books when Jay Garrick first came around when he, was killing gangsters and stuff. But that was a completely different period of time.
I don't think I've read those stories. I should go look those up.
Some of the original Flash comics with Jay Garrick, he just kills the guys. I think what does he do? Throws them off a bridge or something like that in their car.
Geez.
I can't remember. And then who was – I think it was – wasn't it Harry Wells that told him saving one life doesn't justify taking another?
Yeah, that was Harry's speech, which We may get into talking about him a little bit more, but what a refreshing moment just to have him back on the show.
I agree completely.
Even though we've been seeing the same actor, Harry Wells is an entirely different character. And my wife was very sad to see him leave again at the end of the episode. But it was great because Harry's got that perspective, right? He's really gruff. You're never sure if he's really upset with you. But then he has this really great advice, you know, that he gives you. He may have I don't know that I know Harry's you know, traits and stuff like that, but he understands Barry and how to talk to him. This may not be Harry's ideal thing. Like, you know, he may not necessarily not necessarily agree with this, I think, but he knows this is what Barry needs to hear because this is what kind of person Barry is. And that, you know, so that he saves, you know, he tells him that saving one life doesn't justify taking another. And it's, you know, it's, again, it's kind of like just hearing the right thing at the right time.
So do you think, are you saying that he, if it were up to Wells, if like Wells were in charge of stopping Grodd, that he would probably go ahead and kill him?
I'm not certain about that. I got the idea this week that, you know how, in the future we see, they identified him as HR. Was up on top of the building aiming the gun at Savitar.
Yes.
I got the idea of thinking that maybe that's Harry. Now, I went and looked at the scene again, and it's definitely Tom Cavanaugh, and he's wearing his pork pie hat, which is the HR character, because I was like, I was really interested this week and last week on how they were doing HR and Harry's hair differently showcase the characters. And so I went back to watch that clip in episode 10, I think it was, Borrowing Problems from the Future from this season, to see if the hair was different, but he's wearing the hat. But I don't know if that's Harry's, you know, I don't know exactly what Harry believes, if that really is what he believes. I feel that very much like the original Wells, which was Thawne, technically, you know, said the things to Barry to inspire him and get him to be faster. I feel that Harry is telling Barry what he needs to hear at the time to encourage and engage him and move him on, you know, to be the hero. We had some speeches this week about, you know, the fact that he is the hero. I think it was Iris that was giving him, giving Barry that speech. And I don't know if Harry separates, you know, what Barry needs to hear from his own personal beliefs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's also interesting to hear him say that, you know, the saving one life doesn't justify taking another, because he did that very thing. He killed Turtle last season in order to save Jesse. So he has done that very thing he's telling Barry not to do.
Yeah.
So he does have an interesting perspective. I
forgot about that. Yeah, you're right.
But he says, you know, again, he says there's always another way, which I think is a fantastic lesson. It's more of that growth mindset that Barry has got to have to be the good hero and the good leader. So it's a great reminder when Barry's feeling down. Yeah, he's a human being. Well, he's a meta human being, but still, he you know, you have those bad days when you forget and you're feeling down. So it's good to have somebody to remind you of those important lessons in life.
Kind of like a bridge over troubled water.
That's right.
He'll be there for you.
Let's talk a little bit about Wells. About Harry Wells.
Okay.
So Jesse breaks the news to him that she's, hey, let's go tell him. He's moving. I'm moving to Earth One, and unexpectedly, he just kind of goes along with it. Doesn't argue with them.
Right. He took it really well.
Mm-hmm. He still had his whisper voice. Okay. Okay. Still talking in, you know, one word sentences in his whisper voice, but yes. But he went along with it. But then he He pulls Wally aside, or, you know, Wally's talking to him later on. And,
yeah. Oh, my God. That was hilarious. That was a great sequence.
Okay, so – but I'm asking – okay, so he says he's got limited time, or I don't even remember what the wording was, but there was something very suspicious about that to me. And I don't mean suspicious as, like, what Jesse said he was doing.
Oh, really?
Yes. And maybe I'm just – maybe I'm grasping at straws here. But
you might be reading too much into it, because the way I saw it was he's talking to Wally, and he says, you know, I don't know how much time I have left. And Wally's like, oh, have you seen a doctor? And he's like, what? Yes, Wallace, I have seen a doctor. Like, it, like in the mirror. Like, whatever, you know, I can hear him kind of justifying in his head, and it's like, how long, you know, or is it serious? And he just kind of goes, and kind of is like pausing, and Wally takes that as, oh my God, it's really serious. I was rolling on the floor for this sequence, because it was just like, I felt that, I mean, the way Tom Cavanaugh played it, I felt he was telegraphing it for the, you know, the comedic effect.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But he was totally just, he was saying things like, of course he doesn't know how long he has to live. And he's not the same person that he was previously, you know, because he's different than he was yesterday. And everyone's growing older and everyone's getting closer to their death, whenever that is. I mean, I felt it was just one of those semantic kind of things.
You're taking notes and writing this down next time your kids ask for something, aren't you? That's what you're doing.
Yep.
But it almost felt to me as if he was talking about something different. Like maybe he had seen something that was going to happen to him in the future. And then I got to thinking, well, we know part of the future, and we know that A. Wells is part of that future.
Yeah.
So what if it does have something to do with that? And, you know, I think you and I have discussed the possibility of the Iris that Barry saw may possibly not be Iris. I think I speculated that it was maybe Julian in disguise. Not in disguise, but, you know, using something like they have used to cover up who HR is and things like that.
Right. And I think we had one listener say that it might be a hologram. Like Wells had set up with Cisco.
Right, at the entrance in the lobby of Star Labs.
Right.
So, you know, I thought maybe it had something to do with that. Maybe he knew something about the future. Again, I might just be grasping, but...
yeah.
I hadn't considered that.
I mean, like maybe I said, go ahead.
Well, maybe he was just trying to keep Jesse from moving to Earth 1. I don't know.
I think he's just being that kind of manipulative dad. I mean, you know, I don't have daughters, but I kind of looked at it like, you know, what would Josh be like when you know, a male suitor comes calling for his daughter? You know, he's going to be tinkering on his land speeder model or something there. And just, yeah, you're moving to Milwaukee. Okay, well, as long as you're happy, that's all I care about. Do you want to throw something? Do you want to throw that over there? No, I'm good.
Everything you said there just made my entire body clench and get nervous.
It'll be happening before you know it, buddy.
Oh, I know. You're telling me, man. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Hi, Mr. Stolte. I'm here to take your daughter out.
That's exactly how they're going to sound, too. Yeah.
Yeah, they are. Better than the alternative. Hey. It's like, yo, man, hey, I'm here to take your daughter out.
You know, hey, that's a really good point. So, well, they say that you fall for people that are similar to your parents. So it's probably going to be more the first guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything like me. So, all right. Well, I'll keep an eye on that. I mean, he left anyway. So, I mean, maybe Harry's not going to be back, but Jesse's still there. And we have quite a few episodes before the end of the season. So there's definitely a possibility of Harry coming back. I mean, if they can, you know, clear Tom Cavanaugh's schedule. You think?
Oh my gosh, he's so busy. Yeah,
I don't know if they can get him back on this series, but and he's been replaced. You know, he's been replaced by HR. So
yeah,
that sounds like a corporate decision. All right, now going back to Grodd here. Barry claims that Grodd is evolving. So I'm assuming he's meaning like he's getting smarter and smarter. And he does seem to be even smarter than we saw him last season.
Time. Yeah. I mean, he's, you know, been hanging out with all these apes, you know, in their own city.
But he's planning. I mean, he figured out who holds these nuclear missile codes. He found out where this guy's going to be. He distracted Flash so he could get this general. And, you know, and he's got a backup plan after backup plan after backup plan. And he's, I mean, he really is getting smarter. So, where does that go? How far does that go?
Yeah, he's been talking to the Russian apes. that's where he got most
some
of
intel.
The intel from, yeah. well, you know, I mean, with the experiments that were done to him, you know, we don't know what the extent was, but he went from being more gorilla-like, you know, I mean, and we don't really know what his life was like in Star Labs, except for a few of the flashbacks there. But, you know, he had been in a cage and, you know, he had been more gorilla-like, and now he's becoming more, I hesitate to say human, but sentience is growing, I guess. So, yeah. It doesn't surprise me that because of all the experimentation and stuff like that, that, you know, he would be able to, kind of exponentially grow. Now, like, again, how far does that go? You know, he doesn't seem to be getting new powers or anything. He just is utilizing the smarts that he already has. And,
but the reason I even mention it is because now they're putting him in Argus, where there's other powerful yeah. criminals, including King Shark. Yeah. And he's going to be there using his super smarts
and all sorts of secrets.
Right. So I can just see the possibility of disaster looming because of Grodd's intelligence. I'm thinking Argus might not be a good place to put him.
That's the other thing. I'm like, when I was thinking about what are they going to do with him, Argus is arguably the answer. Like in the comics, it would be Iron Heights. Because it's more of a metahuman prison in the comic books, but yeah, I don't know what they would. I don't know what else you would do with him, unless you know you'd have to put him in stasis or something like that. That's really what I think they need to be doing with some of these criminals. Not you know, not killing him or anything like that, but just putting him on ice. You know, not ice, but you know,
and that's like, where Caitlin comes in.
Sleep. Yeah, yeah. Who knows? I mean, that could happen.
Well, I mean, they can't just put him in the pipeline and be feeding him big belly burger. That's right. Although I don't know. Maybe that's what you do. You feed him the big belly burger. You get him really out of shape, and then you know, then he can't attack you, and it's really
God hungry.
Grodd, want your fries.
No, that's all right. I mean, that's some really interesting idea. I mean, I don't think we're going to see Grodd anymore this season.
Yeah, me neither.
He seems to be about a one-season character, but, you know, we've been getting more of him as we go.
One-season budget constraint is what he is.
Right.
but I like that. See, okay, well, should I tell you this now? Yeah, I will. I will tell you this. Sure. Why not? I had an idea about that, about the one season thing and who they're going to get next year for their big bad. Right. And, I don't know. I don't know if you could pull this off, but I mean, I really hope they don't get another speedster. I just really think they need to move away from that, to just do something different, you know, drastically different. Mm-hmm. And what if they started building up the Rogues Gallery?
Oh yeah.
So I mean, you've got enough of them now that they could start teaming up, and that could be kind of what your big bad is next season.
Kind of like they're doing the Legion of Doom on Legends of Tomorrow.
Kind of, yeah. You know, and the way they kind of work that, and it's not your typical who you'd think would be a Legion of Doom. But in this case, you got an actual rogues gallery of villains that Flash has had traditionally. And then a lot of times they work together. So why not? And throw Grodd in there every once in a while or I don't know. That might be kind of cool. That was just an idea I had this week as I was trying to look ahead to next season.
Yeah, I like
season.
That. Yeah.
So Barry's really kind of the only one that wants to kill Grodd or at least has the idea that he should kill Grodd. Iris says no, you know, be humane about it. We talked about her. Will says there's always another way. Joe, interestingly, Joe's got this fear of Grodd, justifiably so, I think, from his first experience. And, you know, now he's been taken over and almost shot in the head, which was a pretty cool scene, I got to say, with Barry saving Joe from a bullet that was, 6 inches away from his head.
Oh, my God, it was closer than that, I felt like. I don't know. I felt Barry didn't move fast enough to start with, and then the gun was so close. Something just seemed a little off with it, but it was a little tense.
Yeah, Joe thinks that it might work. I mean, like he's kind of down with it, I think, but he tells Barry that he might not be able to come back from it. So even though Joe's kind of on board if he needs to, he's still warning Barry. He's still being that father figure telling him that, hey, you know, this really isn't who you are. It's not what kind of hero you are.
And I think that's what we need Joe to continue to do. I mean, to be the voice of his conscience, but I don't know about you, but a lot of times the little voice in your head, you know, that's like my parents. When I think about it, like, why is that little voice? The voice doesn't necessarily sound like them, but like, where is that coming from?
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's, you know, from the way I was brought up. So, you know, Joe is just externalizing that for the audience here to hear. And then, you know, it's true. I mean, I think, like Diggle's, doing the same kind of thing over on Arrow, too, you know, he's counseling, characters like that. So to have that mentor parental figure that you know reminds you that you know you can't necessarily do things the way that you want to do them, whereas your peers might be like, you know, hey, we gotta keep pushing for this, and you know, have that one character that you know says, you know, I've been there, I kind of know how this stuff works, and you should listen to me, and that they actually have a valid point about it, not just someone who's just saying
sure. So well, in the end, he ends up he kind of listens to all of them, and he does come up with another way, but he brings Solivar back. But my question is, if Solivar had come, he had intended to kill Grodd. That's the kind of the law of Gorilla City, you know, kill or be killed. And if Solivar had killed Grodd, would that be the same as Barry killing him? I mean, Barry brought him back. He's not doing it, but would that be the same as Barry killing him?
Wow. That's a tough one.
Well, he ends up not doing it. He ends up stopping him and saving him. But Barry's done that before. He did that last season with Zoom. He brought, you know, he kind of didn't bring the time wraiths, but he attracted the time wraiths by making the shadow of himself or the echo or whatever they call that.
The time remnant.
Time remnant, right.
That one.
And that the wraiths came back and they got Zoom. For now. he comes back later on. Watch Legends of Tomorrow. It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's not a spoiler. It's on another show.
I don't know how responsible you can be for that. I mean, to some degree, he would be responsible, I guess, for, you know, if Solivar were to kill him. But, you know, it's not necessarily his fault.
I feel like No, but he did bring him, though. I mean, he actually...
Yeah.
But it ended up... See, that was what I was worried about. But then he ended up actually saving Grodd anyway. So I didn't have to worry about the moral dilemma because Barry did stop him. So
we were talking a little bit about this. I think it was last week on Green Justice for Arrow with Oliver murdering there's a police character that he killed because he was set up. So you know, he actually he killed this character, but it wasn't really his fault because he was set up by the bad guy to kill this character. And we were discussing, you know, was he really responsible for that? And
yeah,
it's a tough call.
It is a tough call. It's never easy when it comes to the murdering.
Well, I was waiting in this episode as they were tackling the nuclear launch codes and stuff. I was waiting for Sisko to call up Felicity and say, hey, so how did that thing work where you send the missiles to a smaller city nearby?
That's how he was going to save the day, huh?
Yeah. The missiles are launched. I got to say, having this show also do something with, you know, the threat of nuclear missiles after they had the attack on Haven Rock last season on Arrow, I felt like they're, you know, I know it's two different shows and stuff, but I felt like they were going back to the well too quickly there. So
yeah, that scene almost seemed like they needed just a little bit more time to extend the story. Mm-hmm. Before, you know, so they hadn't, they could do the attack at the end, but, you know, they didn't have enough budget, I guess, or whatever, to make it long enough. So they had to put something else in there too, because he solved it really fast.
Right.
Again, no pun intended, but,
Well, and you're right that with the budget and stuff, because the missile launcher was left over from Arrow season 2, on the island. That was the missile launcher that shot down a plane or was going to shoot down a plane or something like that when
well, sure, they had to get it from somewhere, you know.
Well, yeah, no, I mean the production, not for reals.
Yeah, well, you know, the general, he was recycling, he was reusing,
yes,
military equipment, so
good for him.
Well, luckily we saw more Gypsy in this episode. And I'm happy that they brought her back. I think we talked when it was the episode where we first met her, we really kind of liked the chemistry between her and the other characters, especially especially Francisco.
Hey, Francesco. And it answered our question from last week, was it the Earth 19 Gypsy or an Earth 2 Gypsy? And so it was the Earth 19 Gypsy. It was the same character that we had actually seen before, which is good. I'm glad they weren't trying to introduce yet another version of the same character.
Yeah, me too. Interesting how, you know, she goes to all these different, universes multiverses. To catch all these people because it's illegal in one of the multiverses to go back and forth. But she mentioned that she was on a job, that she was trying to catch someone, but she never really mentioned who.
Well, she showed a picture. So we cut back to Earth 19 and there's a picture of looked like an Asian woman that she was showing to some mysterious guy with a scarf like wrapped around his head. Mm-hmm. Who I'm assuming is from Earth 19, because everybody from Earth 19 couldn't, like, if Sisko showed up and she was like, I'm gonna have to arrest you. So it's like, which is weird, because like, if there's a rule about not moving between dimensions and you come to their dimension, how do you know there's not a rule? And it's like, do you get warned and you have to leave or something, or are they just going to arrest you? I don't know. It's weird questions there. But yeah, so I'm thinking that because that little scene was just inserted there, it seemed really out of place, that maybe there's more going on, or maybe they're just trying to make it seem like, you know, there's stuff that happens on Earth 19 as well, and we just won't ever know about it. But I'd like to think that they kind of, you know, we're setting up a piece of something that they're going to expand on here in the last six episodes or eight episodes or whatever.
Well, me too. And the other thought that I had, if you're going to be stopping Savitar and Barry knows he's not fast enough to do it himself, or if somebody else is going to be fast, that there's other possibilities. And maybe it had to do with who she was finding this person for, who she was talking to when Sisko went and met her in the rain and had that nice little dramatic convincing scene. Come on with me. he was really playing it up on her.
Oh, his game is strong, as Caitlin said.
Well, I mean, hey, they got good chemistry. Apparently she did like him, but I don't think she's going to stick around. I think Cisco needs to get, you know, somebody in a more stable relationship.
Yeah, I don't know. Not this season. I don't think it's going to happen this season, but I think they're going to keep doing something with her. Just the fact that it's Vibe and Gypsy, and they were in the comic books, they were part of the same Justice League at the same time. I feel like they really want to work these two characters together. I think they just really, I mean, I think the actors have good chemistry on screen as well. I think she's a really strong character that, you know, she knows what she wants. She's very confident. Though, you know, going back to that first episode she was in, I kind of feel like she lost on purpose. So I kind of wonder if she is, you know, a good bounty hunter or whatever as she says she is. But I really want to see more of this character on the, and her interaction with Cisco on the show.
Yeah, yeah. I agree because I do like her and I like her interaction with them, but I don't know. We'll see. I want to hold off on that for a little while because I think it's going to play a bigger role closer to the end of the season. And now that I've kind of saw some stuff on this episode with her working with them and Harry coming in and working with them, I think the key to fighting Savitar here is going to end up being gathering a group of people to stop him. I don't know. I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing more of Savitar now that he's back, because I want to get down to figure out who this guy is, why he's after Barry, and what's going on. So I'm hoping they start ramping up that story again.
Well, considering the title of the next episode is The Wrath of Savitar, I think you may get your wish.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I thought it might be something else, but yeah, I guess now that I think about it, you're probably right. Hey, at the end of this episode, I don't know how to talk about this. Okay. Well,
if you have a question, just ask it.
Okay. So, you know, I mean, in life, when you're looking at people that are, you're hoping get together, right?
Yes.
And maybe they end up getting married and stuff like that. I mean, it's life. And so it kind of goes on and things kind of work out. But in TV shows, especially dramatic TV shows like this, when people get together and end up getting married, it never – that's never the end of it. It doesn't ever work out like that.
It's so not now, easy, huh?
No. So I'm a little concerned now, and don't get me wrong, I'm fine with wherever they send this story. Ultimately, I think always in the back of my head, I always continue to be aware that in the comic books, Iris dies, and that pushed Barry to a point in the storyline that had, I guess, reverberations for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And so I guess in the back of my mind, that's always there. And if that's where they're going to go, if they're going to push Barry to kind of lead him to where the comic book was, I guess I'm okay with that. But man, I tell you what, you end with a marriage proposal like that, knowing who Barry is and what could happen and what they expect to happen in May. It worries me. I just can't see characters happy anymore on these shows. I think it's one of the consequences of me talking to you about these shows.
Yeah, you've been jaded by that, haven't you?
Yeah. What do you think? Is it possible that it could work? Could they actually get married and still have this show kind of work like the way it has?
Well, we know that previously in the future, the newspaper article that Barry has seen since season one was attributed to Iris West Allen.
Right.
So, you know, we also know that at some point in the future, Barry changes his costume to have a white or have a darker redder costume with the white disc on it and goes back in time to his mother's murder. That's got to happen again at some point, right? So they've got ideas for what they want to do in the future of the show that I can't conceive of how they're going to get there now, but obviously they've made some plans, and they've had these plans for a while now, you know, since the beginning of the show. I'm
only wondering if it can work like that, or I don't know. Do you think that they are going to go that route? I mean, is he going to lose another loved one at the end of this season? It just, well, he just can't win.
I think as we've talked to before, I don't think Iris is going to necessarily be the one that's in trouble at the end of the season. I think there is going to be a member of the team that's going to go, and I'm still leaning towards Wally. I feel like he's more in danger. Like, they're going to be able to save, because they've been focused on saving Iris. So they will save Iris, but time wants to do what it wants to do. So it's going to have to, you know, it's someone else is going to have to take her place, basically, in the grand scheme of things. But let me go back to your question. Can they be married on the show? I think they could. I don't feel like it would really affect the show too much, just in the sense that, I mean, you've already got this, they're living together, they're a couple, but, you know, we have the private moments with them at home where Barry's making pancakes and stuff. The one thing I miss is we don't get to see Barry, like, eating a lot of food. Like, he constantly needs to eat in the comic books. And I think even in the cartoon that they did for the Justice League Unlimited or whatever it was, I think he was eating a lot all the time.
They did that in the 1990s series too.
Oh, that's right. Yes. There was, he would go out to dinner and have to eat a lot, I think. But, you know, they don't really talk about the relationship stuff when they're in with the Star Labs group. So I think they could be married, and, you know, there would be episodes where things would be a little more tense because, you know, somebody finds out that the Flash is married and goes after her, you know, whatever. It would be too much different really than how it is now. So I think that could work for a little bit. And of course, at some point they could take it to the point where, you know, some villain does find out about her and kills her, and that pushes Barry into a new direction. You know, that would be a mid-season finale or a season finale kind of deal, you know, in an upcoming season. But I don't think that's what they're doing now, but who knows? They could, you know, be being very honest with us about what they're going to do. Maybe they could get married before the end of the season, and she really does die at the end of the season.
Huh. Well,
I don't know.
I don't either. And you know what? I'm okay. Like I said, as long as the story does, you know, is going in an interesting direction and a different direction, I think that'd be cool. But we see that Wally and Jesse are getting close. We'll see how their relationship is headed to. I'm a little worried about Wally. Actually, nobody seems safe to me right now before the end of the season. But I don't even know if I feel like those two really know each other well enough to.
She's talking about moving in, and I'm like, whoa, slow your roll, babe. I mean, she's. I kept waiting for Wally to say you're moving too fast, you know, kind of thing. But just one other thing, you just going back to what you said, can Barry be really happy?
Yeah,
I think even if he gets married, I don't think Barry will necessarily be happy, because he hasn't. He's still looking for the external things to make himself happy. Like, if I can just get faster, I'll be happy. If I can save my mom, I can be happy. If I can marry Iris and be with her, I'll be happy. And that's great. There may be points where he's happy, but he's got to make the change from within first. Like, I still radically believe that if you're not happy with who you are, you're never going to be happy with what's going on in life. Like, you could have a great job, a nice car, good family and stuff, but if you don't like yourself and you haven't accepted who you are or forgiven yourself for your past sins or, you know, whatever it is, you're not going to, you know, be that kind of person that has the ability to, you know, find happiness and joy.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Well, I don't know. I don't think there's going to be too much happiness and joy in this series, because otherwise, you know, the storylines start to get a little boring, but they'll figure out some way to shake stuff up every now and then.
Yeah.
All right, well, Savitar is back, or at least it appears that Savitar is back, depending on what you want to speculate on. He just kind of rushes at Wally when he sees him going out and get Big Belly Burger. If you watch the preview for next week, you realize it might have been something a little bit different. But, of course, as you said, that's more of what we're going to be seeing next week.
Was I not paying attention close enough to the preview for next week? Huh.
Well, I mean, just Wally is there. He feels like he's seeing stuff, or yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I think Wally is going to be a big key to stopping Savitar with the connection that he had, because Savitar was the one that kind
helped
of gave
him
his powers. Yeah, helped him get his powers
through alchemy and everything. Right.
Right. So I think he's gonna have and again, I think Julian also. That's another reason why I think Julian's going to be important part of that. So, That was just the last 13 seconds of the of the episode. So we'll get into that next week. A couple little pieces of feedback I wanted to share. Kellen from Twitter, he was talking about some of the stuff that you and I had been discussing a little bit, and he said, "Could Team Flash use the HR pen replacing Wells with Iris in the Savitar moment?" Which, after seeing this week, I thought that definitely could be a possibility. He said, "Listen and watched episode 112, and the idea that Tom Cavanaugh is an irreplaceable character role with tremendous acting ability, or that Tom Felton is a one season helper like the Pied Piper. So either, you know, Tom Felton could be a guy, we've talked about that, or Tom Cavanaugh, who we could kill off and still bring back another somehow."
true. Yeah.
Oh, but I like Harry. I would like to see Harry kind of come back as a more permanent member of the team. HR has grown on me.
HR has grown on me. He's goofy enough and stuff like this, but I understand it allows them to tell different stories, because it has to make the team rely on themselves for coming up with the solutions, whereas they could always kind of rely on Harry. You know, it's like, oh yeah, very simple, you know, the Oculus spectral cohesiveness of the light here, and you just amplifies this and Vibe can take care of it. Not a problem. You know, it's like, what? I miss you, man. I miss you.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much I had actually missed that character until he came back. But and then Armando, I guess, you know, speaking of Barry being happy, he said, "I might be too optimistic since you guys say Barry is happy but won't last, and get saddened by the idea." He says, hashtag happy couple. So I think, you know, I think he wants to see them married and happy.
Oh, I thought he was. I thought you were just kind of rubbing off on him and making him paranoid. So, but
well, I hope not. I hope not. Armando can stay optimistic. I like that.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, you know what? I yapped a little bit too much about that love stuff. That's what happens on Friends Day. You know, that's what you talk about. So, yeah. But let's go over. There were quite a few references in this, so I thought we could just kind of. Most of them went by pretty quick, but. I thought they were worth mentioning. So why don't we kind of take turns here and go down the list.
HR describes Oliver Queen as the guy in the green elf suit, which I thought was rather amusing.
Yeah, that was right after he shot the little suction cup arrow.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I thought he was trying to be like Cupid or something like that. And he probably was, but he said he just needs practice, like that guy in the green elf suit. Maybe you could train him.
Let's see. Then they referenced Jason Bourne. That was when they were trying to find the general guy.
General, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right.
I wrote his name down. General Matthew McNally. There he is.
Matthew McNally. Okay. HR quotes a famous poet on his earth, Alfred Yankovic, a.k.a. Weird Al.
Weird because of the hair?
He is a modern – yeah, because of the hair. He is a modern-day poet. I do not disagree with that.
I do not either. He's got a big box set coming out soon too, so check that out.
Yeah.
They did a couple Rockies reference actually in this. Harry walked in when Barry was boxing the bag, but then also as they were hooking up, I think Joe, he said, "It's an improvement."
They were hooking up Cisco when he was going to do his first thing. Yeah.
So he did a Burgess Meredith quote. I think that was from Rocky too, wasn't it?
I could not tell you. Other than who the person was he fought in each film, I don't know that I could tell you which Rocky different quotes came from. Oh,
okay. Well, I think that's what it was. It was definitely Burgess Meredith.
Okay, yeah. Well, it would either have been Rocky 1 or Rocky 2. I'll give you that. on Earth 19, obviously the version of Star Wars that George Lucas created was the first draft version because Gypsy said, "Are you trying to Luke Starkiller me?" Luke Starkiller being the original name for Luke Skywalker from the first draft when it was called The Star Wars.
I like that Cisco kind of knew that. he gave a little smile, a little smirk after she said that.
Yeah. Okay. Like he wasn't going to correct her, and he was just okay, that's pretty cool.
He's got a whole new set of movies to watch, so he can just go date her on her Earth for a while.
Oh my gosh.
Look at that.
That'd be so awesome.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
All right. So we talked about who Gypsy was looking for when she got captured by Grodd. But when Cisco came back on Earth 19 to talk to her, she was talking with a speedster, a guy in a kind of a red suit with a little mask thingy over his mouth, like a piece of fabric right over his mouth.
Yeah.
And some goggles,
a scarf
right?
Or something. Mm-hmm.
And that very much represented who I believe to be the Accelerated Man, who's another speedster from the comics.
Yeah, he showed up in the multiverse storyline. I don't know. What was that? That was like two summers ago, I think. Maybe a little longer. So that's cool. Obviously, we had a discussion and mention already of Argus and Lila. From Arrow, who Diggle's wife is now running Argus after Amanda Waller in the TV universe died.
Right. And then finally here, and a quick question about this for you, but now they mentioned the War of the Americas again.
Yes.
Now, I had remembered this, but Barry was telling Iris the story of the ring that he was giving her. And his grandfather, who had fought in the War of Americas, is that not what I – am I remembering that incorrectly?
You're mixing it. He was talking about his grandfather fought in World War II because Barry's from our Earth.
Right.
It was Jesse was asking Wally when they were watching Casablanca at the end. She didn't understand what was supposed to be going on, why is – what's happening with Casablanca? And she was asking, does this take place during the War of the Americas?
Ah, okay. Well, that makes more sense. I wondered about that because then I was going to ask you, wait a minute. Maybe Flash isn't on our Earth. Maybe this isn't real after all. And then I was very confused.
Oh, no. No, you were just combining the two last sequences. Yeah.
Now I'm good. There you go. Now I'm fine.
Right. What is the War of the Americas?
We heard about that last season. That's where Zoom, he had referenced that because that's where he said he had got his helmet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or either he got it there or it was inspired by that. I can't remember. But so the War of the Americas is not a real war that happened here. It was just something that apparently had happened on Jack 19. And I read somewhere that it was a reference to Jack and Bobby, which was a television series that mm-hmm. Berlanti had made with Green Arrow writer Brad Meltzer. Did you ever see that?
I never watched it, but I was familiar with it. It's kind of an alternate history TV show that took place in the 60s. I guess it was before that. It's when Jack and Bobby were like teenagers, the Kennedys, and Bobby Kennedy.
Interesting. I had not actually ever seen that one. I wasn't familiar with it, so might have to check that out sometime.
Yeah. I Berlanti series are all pretty good, I think.
Right. I'm a fan. All right. Well, lots to talk about. There's so much going on in my head after seeing this week's episode, and I'm sure there's going to be more. So we'll wrap it up here for the Gorilla storyline and get back more to Savitar next week. But for this week, you and I, we have to run.
If you guys enjoyed the episode, please be sure to swing over to iTunes and leave some feedback for us. We always like seeing what people have to say there. You can also contact us by email at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com. You can tweet us at Scarlet Velocity, or feel free to stop by our Facebook page and engage in the conversation there at facebook.com/scarletvelocitypodcast.
And you can check out our other shows, Green Justice and Arrow Podcast, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, which are on randomchatter.com. And, of course, you can find those on iTunes and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And, of course, if you enjoy this podcast, we would love to have you tell your friends about it so we can share that with them as well. And make sure you write and tell me anything that I made a mistake on or how you feel about Barry being happy. Because I'm curious, what if you guys think Barry can ever be happy? I'd love to hear what you think. And remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.